Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Luke. Chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we'll go from verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who, moreover, was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Amen. And then let's turn to John chapter 11. We're going to read a couple little parts here. John 11, verse 21. John 11:21. Martha therefore said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And then let's go down to verse 33. Verse 32. "Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said to him, 'Lord, come and see.'" Amen. Okay, we're still talking about what passion looks like, you know, how... and then some kind of little insights that we can gain from looking at someone that lived a passionate life or displayed moments of passion in their life. And this morning I chose, and very specifically I chose Mary because, you know, and all the other passages we talked about, you know, it was someone that, you know, on the outside moved in great faith, right? You know, you had the woman that came in, you know, to the Pharisee's house that, you know, she was despised, and she came and broke the jar and then wet his feet with her tears. You know, and then you have the other woman, yesterday we talked about, that risked her life and went through, you know, touching other people and I mean, literally risked her life to touch Jesus' hem. And so there were great outside acts of faith. And I wanted to finish off in talking about Mary because I don't want us to get... to misunderstand or get out of track somewhere, thinking that that you know, being passionate requires something really crazy and life-defying and all these things, even though it does. But you know, one of the greatest portrayals of passion I see actually in Mary, and we see here Martha invites Jesus into the home. Okay, she's the eldest sister. When that happens, generally how it works out is usually it's the younger sister that's supposed to do all the work, right? You know, maybe some of you guys grew up in your Asian families, you know, very similarly in this process. And so Martha's doing, she's busy, she's doing all the stuff that's necessary. Now notice, I know a lot of people give Martha bad rap. Nothing wrong with Martha, okay? Someone's got to cook. All right, someone's got to make the food. Someone's got to, you know, host Jesus. Someone's got to do something, right? And so that's not so much the issue. But Mary, she does something very interesting. She breaks us apart, you know, aside from her cultural kind of obligations. And she comes to this place and all she does is she sits at Jesus' feet. Right? Every morsel, you know, of food that comes from Jesus' mouth, Mary is just eating this thing up. Right, and so much so that, you know, obviously Martha is pretty troubled by this, right? And so he turns to Jesus and says, "Jesus, you know, Well, what's going on? Will you tell my sister to come and help me? I'm the only one that's doing all the preparations. Notice, Jesus didn't rebuke Martha. Okay, I've heard sermons in the past, you know, that Jesus didn't rebuke Martha, right? I'm serious. Someone's got to do the stuff, right? You know, someone's got to serve, you know, but Jesus just merely pointed out that there's different ways to go about things, you know, and in this setting here, you know, when Jesus is in your house, you should really stop everything you're doing, right, and listen. You should put aside your daily ritual or whatever the case may be and spend time with the Lord. The cross reference of this is actually John 6 verse 27, where Jesus says, do not work for food that perishes, but work for the food that lasts forever. You know he's talking about food from heaven, and Martha is making food, but so is Jesus. He's also making food, but his food lasts forever. Her food's just going to fill the stomach temporarily, you know. And so, you know, she comes to this place, and Mary says, you know, Jesus says only a few things are necessary, and then Jesus says, really, just only one, right? Only one thing is really necessary, right? And he's talking about the issue of faith. There's only really one thing that's necessary, you know, and the one that she's chosen will never be taken away from her. Now, let's take this passage. Let me tell you what this kind of passion does in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So we see the act. Now I want to show you the manifestation of what this is like. So now Lazarus has died, you know, in John 11. It says here, and, you know, this is a mystery for a lot of people, including myself. It says that when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, that he actually stayed a few days longer. Right, you know, it would be customary for him to go, you know, and so this could really speak to us about waiting on the Lord or God's timing, and, you know, I mean, there's a whole other message in there in that regard, but we're not going to go there today. And then they come to this place because this is the difference between Martha's faith and Mary's faith, right? Martha's faith was fundamental, it was limited, right? And so Martha's faith was, If we want to put it in a very easy understanding, was head knowledge. Martha says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, right? Very faithful, you know, question, you know, and a statement as well. And it says, in fact, you know, I know that even now that you can basically raise him from the dead, you know, and with fundamental faith, with head knowledge, Jesus responds to her with theology. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father. But, you know, he goes, you know, into theology, which is, yeah, it's okay, you know. But Martha doesn't need theology, but that's what she gets. Her faith is limited. Now, go down the scripture. Here's Mary, a woman of passion. Mary says to Jesus the same exact thing. Read your Bibles, right? The same exact thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Right? Martha said the same thing. What did Martha receive? Martha got theology. Mary comes, right? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And what does Jesus do? He goes into action. Right? He turns and he says he was deeply moved. And then he asks a question. All right, where is he? He's about to go into action right here. It's interesting, isn't it? Right? One response, you get good teaching. Nothing wrong with good teaching, right? It's like Martha, right? She's cooking. Someone's got to do it. It's good stuff. But it's not the most important. And quite frankly, it's not what moves God's heart. It's not. Right? You know, you'll get a response from God, but it won't be like Mary's response. And Mary comes because she's passionate. You know, she sits at his feet. There's something different about the way that she approaches Jesus than the way Martha approaches Jesus. See, Martha's approach, you know, head knowledge, right? Mary's approach was a heart knowledge. You know, she didn't just receive truth cognitively. She received truth as a person because Jesus is truth. You know, and I love this passage. Jesus says, all right, where is he at? You know, where's he at? I'm about to do something right now, you know, in the midst of all these people. You know, and you can go about, and this is a good commentary for us, right? You can go about in our devotions. You know, we can go about in our readings, in our prayers, and all these things. And we could do it in such a way that it becomes mechanical, you know, that it becomes ritualistic, right? That it becomes very ordinary, right? And you know, I'm not saying there's anything bad about that, because, yeah, there's something about that, you know. Or we can approach prayer, devotions, you know, our scripture reading, going to meet a person, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a difference. Because I know this difference, because I fall into this trap all the time. You know, I get into it, my disciplinary mode, you know, and I read the scriptures, you know, to fulfill my religious duty of the day. I do my prayers, right? And this is, I mean, I shared this before. This is a clear sign. This is a clear sign that your prayers have become ritualistic. Is that when you get to the end of your prayers, you know, kind of you do your whole list and all these things, and you get to the end of your prayer life, you know, your prayer journey that day, and you feel a sense of relief that it's almost over, right? You know, kind of like, oh, okay, I'm almost done. You know, your prayer life just became mechanical, right? Because you did it to fulfill a religious duty instead of to meet a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that when I go into the scriptures and, you know, and I read the Bible, and I probably read the Bible different than you guys do, because this is my livelihood, right? And so, and I know the difference, right? I know that when I read the Bible for work, right? Like some of you guys have to read prospect, you know, kind of stuff, and, you know, different things. You read it for work, right? You know, and I know when I read it for work, and I know when I'm reading it to meet a person, right? And sometimes this is just a manuscript, right? Or some kind of prospectus or something. But when I read it, and I know there's a difference. It's a heart thing. And when I come and I read it, you know, to meet Jesus, it changes. You know, one of the big things that changes is revelation comes, right? And I can't tell you how many times I'll read the scriptures. I'll be like, wow, man, I never saw that before. You know, thanks, Lord, for just the illumination of the scriptures in that way, right? And there's a difference, you know, and it was so richly embodied in Mary and Martha, right? All she did, you know, and it doesn't seem so passionate, you know, like outward passionate, but Mary just sat at his feet, just eating every morsel of food that Jesus would have to offer. Martha was busy. I mean, she was busy doing good stuff, right? You know, someone's got to do it, but she chose the part that doesn't last forever. You know, and in some ways, you know, let not our faith or, you know, our readings and, you know, our service, let's not make it mechanical, you know, or just something that we do on Sunday or something that we do, you know, at house church or whatnot. You know, but let our heart lead us in every activity of the Lord, that we be like Martha, that we would just, or I'm sorry, like Mary, that we'd be someone that just sits at his feet. You know, friends, that kind of person moves God's heart. That kind of person does something to God. You know, that kind of person, you know, moves him into action. You know, it would benefit us to spend some time in John 11 and just read the whole exchange. It's fascinating, right? It really moves God. And I've preached on it before, but you know that in verse 33, where it says he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. Right, the correct translation is he troubled himself. In other words, Jesus may not have felt like he wanted to do anything, but he stirred himself up to do something. That's how much, right, Mary moved his heart. You know, and if you're interested, I did a whole message on that called "Trouble Yourself" probably a few years ago. You can find it online. All right, so let's close our eyes. Samuel, are you supposed to lead worship today? No? Oh, he's not supposed to. Looks like our worship leader is not here this morning. It's okay. Let's pray. Let's spend some time. Let's go before the Lord and let's ask God to, you know, just begin to stir our hearts. Let's pray that we would have the passion to just sit at Jesus' feet. It takes a lot of self-control, a lot of sacrifice to do that. Mary risked the scorn of her sister as well as the scorn of her culture. But she chose the best part. She has sat at the Lord's feet. There's a real skill, I would say a real art, in many of us learning to sit at the Lord's feet. There's so many voices that are competing for us. Ken, maybe you can just put a song on. And as that song is playing, I just want to encourage you to just meditate and just be like Mary. A faith full of heart. With your head too, but full of heart.
See your beauty. it again, one thing I ask. Let's lift our hands.
One thing I ask, and I would seek,
your beauty,
to see your beauty,
to find you, Jesus,
to find you in the place your glory dwells.
Better is one day with you.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere.
My heart and flesh.
Let's pray. Let's pray for our community, pray for ourselves. Let's pray that we would have just the strength of Mary just to sit at His feet. And let this be a practice in our lives that, you know, there are moments. There's moments when the Lord will come in His presence, you know, and all we need to do is just sit and rest. Let's pray for just that obedience in our lives and in the life of our community. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Go to our urgent prayer requests, and let's continue to pray for Chelsea and the whole Ling family, especially Aunt Margaret. The family is deciding what to do right now. Apparently in Singapore there are 7 tests that they run to see if someone is basically pronounced dead, and they ran 6 of those 7 tests, and all 6 of them came out negative, which means that yes, that's not good news. And they're just waiting for the last test, and they're just actually just having mercy on the family and waiting for her sisters to come, fly in from Canada. They'll be coming in today, and then they'll run the final test. And if that also turns up negative, then I think they're going to possibly end up pulling the plug or, you know, whatever they do in Singapore. And so let's really pray, you know. So right now we're not really dealing with an issue of healing. We're actually dealing with an issue of resurrection. And so let's continue to stand with the family and pray for wisdom for the family members and pray for the resurrection power of God. You know, even as the scripture read, it says, I am the resurrection and the life. And let's call out to Jesus just to minister to this whole family in this dark hour of theirs. So let's pray. Let's pray for our last mission team that's still out. You know, let's thank the Lord that the Bhutan team came back safely. They all arrived yesterday afternoon. And let's just pray for our Cambodia team and ask the Lord to continue to minister to them. Our orphanage team is still busy at work, as well as the worship team. This is going to be a really heavy weekend. And for them and all the preparations and all the plans, everything they've done, that God would just really come in power and just really minister to the kids and to the worship leaders and the leaders that come through. Let's pray for Pastor Nate and for Hige as they lead the teams, and that they would just really really receive something from God to give to others. Let's just lift up these teams to the Lord. Let's just cover this whole weekend before the Lord and all the stuff going on at church and all the activities. Let's just pray a covering over them. Let's pray from this weekend. Obviously, we just continue to remember the mission teams. But let's pray for Saturday for our IP ministry as they get together and to pray God's purposes for SP and Hong Kong and the world. Let's ask the Lord to just bless that time. Let's pray for our Sunday services. Let's ask for God's hand upon us and our SP at the 10 and 2 service and the Korean service and Faye ministry. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and the kids, that they would really just continue to grow and receive, you know, from the Lord and bless the teachers and the staff in that way. Let's ask God to just place His hand upon us in this weekend and all of our activities and the youth group and all the other stuff that's going on throughout this weekend. And so let's ask God to bless our time. Father, we just thank You, God, so much, Lord. We just pray, God, that, Lord, our devotions, our spiritual life, God, would not be mechanical, Lord. It would not just be ritualistic, God, but there would be so much passion, so much of our heart, God, being extended to You, Lord, and that we relate to You, God, with more than just our head, God, that we relate to You with our hearts as well, our feelings, our emotions, our passions, God. And so, Lord, I pray for our community, God, around us, our family, Lord, and that, Lord, that we be passionate lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, draw us, God, into that place of intimacy, Lord, where we can just sit at Your feet, God. We thank You, Lord. Lord, be over our friends, God, serving overseas here in Hong Kong. Lord, each one in our community, we pray, Lord God, that we would all be sitting at Your feet. We thank You, Lord. Watch over us this weekend, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. A great weekend, and we'll see you guys on Sunday.